In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday was the day that is set aside to commemorate the great saint of Ethiopia, Saint Moses. Saint Moses, the Ethiopian, also called Saint Moses the Strong, and simply Saint Moses the Black. Moses, as you know from a sermon we gave last year, if you were here, began life as a slave. He was the slave of one of the officials of Egypt. And so he wasn't in his own country. Ethiopia, of course, is southeast of Egypt. He grew up as a slave, but he grew up into a huge and powerful man, filled with resentment and anger against his condition. And he stole from the one who had enslaved him. And he was accused of murder. And he fled. And he became the leader of a band of outlaws that was known throughout the Nile Valley. Now that's a huge area. It goes deep south into Africa, and of course all the way north to the mouth of the Nile River, with riches for plunder all along the way. And that was the way he lived his life. And it was said that no one could stand against him, so strong and so powerful a man he was. But at the same time, there is this. The story is that even in the midst of this life, Moses frequently would turn to the sun, which was worshipped in the house of those that had enslaved him in Egypt. And he would pray, "O sun, if you are God, then show me." And then he would continue and he would say, "The God that I do not know, show me that I may worship you." And that was the nature of his prayer. And so in spite of the fact that he could have his way at will with anyone, take what he wanted, there was still this desire in him to know God. And it is said that a voice came to him and told him, "Go into the desert of Egypt. The monks there can tell you about the true God." And so he did find his way into the desert to a monastery. And the priest there accepted him, but knew in his heart that he would not be able to deal with all of the turmoil in this man. And so he took him to the one man that he knew that would be able to teach him in the way that Moses needed to be taught. And that man was Macarius of Egypt. Because we're talking about the 4th century here, the second half of the 4th century. And Macarius the Great was at his monastery, his famous monastery in Scetus, the monastery after which, whenever you hear of a Scet being referred to as a monastery, it's because of Macarius's monastery in the Egyptian desert. Macarius, whom we call Macarius the Great, and who wrote homilies that were collected and saved and passed down and have been read to great spiritual advantage by so many down unto our own time. Macarius had 4,000 who were his confessors, who came to him for confession. People from all over the Mediterranean, as far west as Spain and Gaul, modern-day France. Macarius is revered throughout the Christian world, east and west. And that was the monk that Moses was taken to. Macarius preached to him, gave him instruction, taught him the faith. baptized him. And it is said specifically with these words, Macarius taught Moses to live in the wilderness. Now, at first glance, that just sounds like, well, he taught him, you know, probably how to build a little hut, you know, and how to take care of himself. Moses didn't need that. When it says that Macarius taught Moses how to live in the wilderness, this was Macarius teaching Moses how to deal with the internal wilderness, the wilderness of his own soul, so that he could spend his life in battle against those things that had conquered him, his passions, those things that drove him out into the world to live the kind of life that he was living. And so when Macarius went back, he took up that monastic life. And the central thing, it seems to me, is this, that here we have a violent man, a man who was successful in his violence. And his very violence became the path of his salvation. This is not a way we ordinarily think of the spiritual life. We who think of the spiritual life as a matter of trying to be good, and then we go back and say, well, I'll try harder, and then we try harder again. That's not the kind of life that St. Moses led. He had always been known as someone who enjoyed great quantities of meat and the best kind of food, great quantities of strong drink and women. And those passions, along with his great anger, the violence that came along with all of that, were turned against his true enemies. Not those that had enslaved him, not those that became his victims in the world, but exactly the passions within him. They were the true enemies. Moses entered into a violent struggle within himself that lasted for many, many years. It is said that the devil himself came to do battle with Moses. And now he had an enemy with whom he was contending for his very soul. He was stricken with illness. He was given a wound in his foot that caused him to limp. By taking battle to the enemies of Christ, he was opposed. He was opposed by the darkest forces. We think all we need to do is turn to God and things will just kind of smooth out. The difficulties will go away. God will take care of it all. If it doesn't happen that way, we complain and call and ask God, why aren't you taking care of this? And what we don't realize is that it is we who need to take care of struggling against our passions. And that is the lesson that we find in Moses. Now, externally, I always wondered, what was it like to live in a monastery with Moses the Strong, a man engaged in violent inner struggle? Well, we know how it came out, at least. After many years of struggle, God, having let him make this necessary struggle, healed his illnesses and his foot, and gave him a way of dealing with others that was all gentleness and meekness. That was how that battle came out. Moses went on to become the leader, no longer of a gang of thieves, but he founded his own monastery and had 500 monks under him. And he was their much-loved spiritual guide. And then the day came when elders of the nearby monasteries, including Moses, went on a pilgrimage to see Macarius the Great. And while they were with him, Macarius said to the other monks and the priests, the abbots of monasteries, there is one among you who will wear the crown of martyrdom. And Moses said, well, it must be me, because it is said that those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And he accepted that this was going to be his end. Went back to his monastery, and not long after that, Moses' monastery was attacked by a band of Berbers. They are nomadic tribesmen, equally as violent as Moses had been in his youth. And as the Berbers were coming, Moses told the rest of the monks, all of you who need to escape, please go. And they tried to convince him to go with them. But he said, no, I've waited for this day for a long time. And he stayed there to meet the force, the violence of these invaders. And that was how he died his violent martyr death, defending the monastery, not in the way that he would have in his youth, by overpowering all comers, but by overpowering them in this new kind of way. He was the master of his own soul. In his heart, there was the peace that passes all understanding, and he died as a witness to the greater power of God. In the hearts of all of us who give ourselves over to him, and he witnessed to the fact that there is no passion so violent, so great, that can't be overcome if we turn that violence toward those who are our enemies. There are enemies that stand against us, and we go against them. We go against the passions, not against ourselves. Now we have to understand, it's not a matter of beating ourselves up inside and castigating ourselves for being this way or being that way. Our true selves are not defined by those passions. Our true selves are hidden and obscured by those passions. And the true man is the one who came out in Moses as a result of this long struggle. The kingdom of God, it says in Matthew, suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Passages that don't mean very much to those of us who think of Christianity as this kind of pretense of a gentleness under our own self-control. But here is a violent man who turned his violence against those that prevented him from winning through to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffers violence. What is it? You have to think about how that word suffers is being used. The kingdom of God will open to those who use violence against that which binds them up, their passions. Moses, I can't think of a better example when it comes to an illustration of those words. The violent enter the kingdom of God by force. Not by God handing everything to us, but by us taking the spiritual struggle on ourselves. We are the ones who are able to repent. God can't do that for us. God can't change us or cleanse us inside unless we repent of those things that we cling to rather than clinging to him. The spiritual life is an active life. It's not a matter of not doing this and not doing that. There are things that need to be done to win our souls for God. All of those passions, they're not bad in themselves. There is good in every human passion, and a true calling for each human passion. But we have to take hold of ourselves within those passions and redirect them toward God by beating down the effort of those passions to control us. Just as Moses had to struggle against his riotous living, drunkenness, and lust, so all of us have got to do battle with those things that bind us up. And so Moses, the Ethiopian, his very violence became the path of his salvation. Moses the strong. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.